Good evening. We want to welcome everyone as we gather to celebrate Christmas and as we think about the birth of our Lord and Savior. And as we've been going through this season of Advent, we've been kind of guided by the writings of Dietrich Bonhoeffer compiled in God is in the Manger, Reflections on Advent and Christmas. And so tonight, in one sense, that journey's coming to an end. But on the other hand, it's a journey that continues, right? Because just as we awaited for the Messiah's birth in the first Advent, now we await his return where he will fulfill all of his promises. So tonight, the first part of that journey comes to an end for Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ for whom Israel had long waited, and came in a mysterious way, fulfilling the promises and prophecies of salvation, not as a conquering king, but by coming in humility as a baby to be laid in a cradle, that one day he would be lifted up on a cross to redeem us. God had come in the flesh not to provide another option for salvation, but to provide the only way that we might be saved. Through his incarnation, he would take upon himself our guilt, our condemnation, our sin, and the greatest rescue of all time. So tonight, we continue to wait, not for his first advent, but for the fulfillment of the promise of his return, when he will make all things right. Until then, the only suitable gift that we can bring to this newborn babe is not our gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the government of our lives, as we recognize that this child who's been born is likewise a son that has been given for our salvation. Will you join with me responsively in our call to worship from Isaiah 9? For to us a child is born,
to us a son is given,
and the government shall be upon his shoulder,
and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Help us to embrace this child, to follow his rule, accept his wisdom, and be strengthened by his hand, that we may know his peace. Let us pray. O most gracious and loving Father, as we gather here on this Christmas Eve, we do just pray that we would come with joy and with hope and with anticipation as we think not only upon the birth of our Savior that that Israel had waited for so long with the coming of the Messiah, but that we would also just find ourselves in a time of waiting now for his return. Lord, we just give this night into your hands, and that we pray that as we come into this Christmas season, that it would be time that we can just reflect upon Christ and what he's done for us through his life, his death, his resurrection, that we can remember that the whole reason that this babe was born was that he might save us from our sins as Emmanuel, God with us. And so we just come and we pray that you would focus our hearts and our minds upon you as we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Waiting well is not about the absence of activity, but how we wait. The people of Israel had waited hundreds of years for God's promise to be fulfilled at the right time. As we wait, we look to God as the source of salvation, leaning on God for the strength to endure, and learning from God how to live in him who is our salvation. Bonhoeffer writes, celebrating Advent means being able to wait. Waiting is an art that our impatient age has forgotten. Those who are full do not really know what it means to wait. Only those who recognize the things that are not what they should be, who recognize their lack and that there is a door that is shut, that requires us to look to another from the outside to open. Just as there was a time for waiting between the prophecies and fulfillments of one who was to come, we now live in a time for waiting for his return. May we not be given over to all the distractions of life, but continue to wait for him who is faithful and to fulfill his promises. May we quiet ourselves to hear from him that we might find strength from him as we wait, trusting not only in God, but in God's timing, and finding rest in him when all else seems at unrest.
You've been promised. We've been Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because her husband Joseph was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Mystery. There are unfathomable mysteries in life, but none so great as the incarnation. That this promised child to be born was likely a son given, Emmanuel, God with us. Through the path that began in a manger and led to the cross, Jesus saved his people from their sins, for in him God took on our guilt upon himself, that we might be forgiven and given life through the sufficiency of a sacrifice. Advent is not only a season of waiting, but also a season of mystery. Not so much the mystery of where I left my keys, nor the mystery of all my unanswered questions, but Advent is about the mysterious wonder of God, who is beyond my comprehension, whose thoughts and ways are not my thoughts and ways, who confounds the wise, yet gives wisdom, who elevates the lowly, yet humbles the proud. And God by whose word all things were created, who would then choose to enter that creation as a weak and vulnerable baby and be laid in a manger to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. The unfathomable mystery is that God would become a babe, laid in a manger, not just to live and impart wisdom, but to offer himself as a sufficient sacrifice for our guilt, to save us from our sins. As Bonhoeffer put it, the unfathomable mystery is that God would declare himself guilty for us. The charges against us would be laid on this babe named Jesus. For one day, he who was laid in the cradle will be lifted up on a cross.
Christ.
living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. To you, he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it was amazed. At what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Advent is not only a season of waiting filled with mystery, but a reminder of our need for rescue from above. We were buried underneath our sin, and our rescue would come at great cost. Unable to save ourselves, we must look up to the rescuer, putting our lives in his hands. I wonder if we have become so familiar with the details of that first Christmas, a decree, a census, a journey to Bethlehem, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, because there was no place in the inn, shepherds and angels, that we may have lost sight of the mysterious wonder those details convey that Mary treasured up and pondered. While it is true that Jesus may not reveal to us everything we want to know, in him is everything we need to know. As God's mysteries are made known in and through Christ, the one who was fully God and became fully man in order to conduct the greatest rescue of all time that had been planned out since before the foundation of the world. We were buried beneath our sin, captive to death, the way out blocked. The only way to be saved would be from above, through the birth of one that the angels would herald with a message that we need not fear. For with his birth came good news of a great joy, for unto us was born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God would not keep himself at a distance, but in Christ would mount our great rescue.
Love. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, was he of whom I spake? He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
Our fourth reading is Incarnation. God's great rescue would come through the Incarnation. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You may discover countless images of what people think Jesus may look like. However, what is of real importance is who Jesus is. Through the Incarnation, God has provided us with a wonderful counselor, who is none other than Mighty God and Everlasting Father, who came as our Prince of Peace. He meets us where we are, alongside us, to get us where we need to go, and amazingly, even paid the cost of getting us there. For to us a child is born speaks of the humanity of Jesus. To us a son is given, speaks of his deity. Isaiah prophesies of what John declares has now been fulfilled. God came wrapping himself in the flesh. In a babe he would come to know by the name of Jesus, who was full of grace and truth. The Incarnation is vital to why Jesus is unlike any other and able to do what no other can do. Through the Incarnation, God meets us where we are, in need of salvation. He teaches and shows us what was intended for humanity, but also comes alongside us to get us to where we need to be. He brings light into our darkness, counsel into our confusion, and help into our helplessness. He would do so through a victory achieved for us through the Son of God, who had become the Son of Man. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us as our wonderful counselor, Mighty God and Everlasting Father, that he could do likewise, cover our cost of our reconciliation, bringing us peace with God and the peace of God as our Prince of Peace.
I would like to ask you to stand for these last two if you're able.
as we kind of read through and led through the themes of Bonhoeffer's book for our Advent series and bringing us into Christmas, I thought it would be fitting to read a quote from Bonhoeffer as we close. Joy to the world, anyone for whom this sound is foreign or who hears in it nothing but weak enthusiasm has not really heard the gospel. For the sake of humankind, Jesus Christ became a human being in a stable in Bethlehem. Rejoice, O Christendom. For sinners, Jesus Christ became a companion of tax collectors and prostitutes. Rejoice, O Christendom. For the condemned, Jesus was condemned to the cross on Golgotha. Rejoice, O Christendom. For all of us, Jesus Christ was resurrected to life. Rejoice, O Christendom. All over the world today, people are asking, where is the path to joy? The Church of Christ answers loudly, Jesus is our joy, joy to the world, end quote. You know, go forth with his joy because you know his peace, having received gifts brought through his incarnation for your redemption. For as God fulfilled his promises in a mysterious way through a child born and a son given, we continue to wait for his return as we yield the government of our lives to the one who is our wonderful counselor, mighty God and everlasting Father. Go with your Prince of Peace. Amen.